Well, let's turn now to Portland, Oregon, where yesterday 14 were arrested at a rally which had been billed as a Trump free speech rally. Trump supporters on the right demanding their right to free speech. Anti-Trump protesters also came. Things turned nasty.
This is the Portland police. This is an unlawful assembly. You must disperse the area and leave the street.
Well, Jeremy Joseph Christian attended a similar rally weeks ago. He's the man officials say was the train attacker who stabbed to death two men who came to the aid of young women Christian was verbally assaulting with racial epithets. For many people of color, that knife attack was an escalation of things they've heard and felt for years. Molly Solomon of Oregon Public Broadcasting reports.
Rachel Macy says she heard the man before she saw him.
Who was saying that he was a taxpayer and that this was his train and that people of color were ruining the city.
Macy is Native American, a member of the Klamath tribe from Southern Oregon. She was on the MAX train when a man began screaming racist things at two teenage girls and other passengers and stabbed three men. Two of them died. Macy fears the color of her skin could make her a target for other racists.
Every time I have to take public transportation, just walking down the street, I realize I don't want to be noticed. And I am afraid.
That fear is shared by many of Portland's communities of color. Umutula is a college student. She moved here from West Africa with her family. They're black Muslims, and sometimes she wears a hijab. Umu says most of the women in her family are not taking public transit right now. Those girls on the train who were harassed, that could have been her.
When you go out there, you have to, like, really be careful because I don't know what's going to happen. It's scary. It really is scary.
Mohamed El-Sheikhi is a stand-up comedian from Libya who moved to Portland 3 years ago for school. He says his father called him from their home in Benghazi after the train attack.
He was like, hey, I've been seeing Portland all over the news. Stay safe. And I was like, this is the most ironic thing that ever happened to me. Like a man who lives in the middle of a civil war is asking me to be safe in Portland.
Like many in the city of Portland, El-Sheikhi sees the stabbing victims as heroes. But he wonders why other hate crimes haven't garnered the same attention.
A lot of people of color have been killed before in this city by a white supremacist or by the police. And now that two white people get killed, now people are like, oh, people are being murdered here. I'm like, yeah, but this is not the first time.
The TriMet attacks are just the latest in a string of racist incidents across the region. In March, a white man burst into a Middle Eastern restaurant in Salem, yelling, "Get out of America." And in Troutdale, an Iranian refugee found his home ransacked and covered in hateful graffiti and threats. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, in the 3 months after the election of Donald Trump, Oregon had 50 reported hate incidents.
This is not something that's just recent.
Garrett Hongo teaches creative writing at the University of Oregon. Hongo, who's Japanese-American, says there is a history of harassment against people of color in the Pacific Northwest. He remembers being followed and nearly driven off the road by a car of white men as he was coming home late one night from a fishing trip in central Oregon. Another time, his son was chased through the streets of Portland by white supremacists.
These things have been ongoing and people of color know about them. An unfortunate thing is it takes a murder to bring attention to these issues.
Despite its reputation as a progressive city, many minorities say they're not surprised when they hear about hate crimes. With Caucasians making up more than 76% of the population, Portland is the whitest major city in America. That's partly because the state was built on exclusion laws that made it illegal for African Americans to enter or live in Oregon. At one point, Oregon had the highest per capita Ku Klux Klan membership in the country. 19-year-old Alexis Bright is a fourth-generation African-American from Northeast Portland. She says she often feels like she faces a different reality from her white peers.
As a person of color, especially in a predominantly white society, you are very aware of these dangers that a lot of people can comfortably ignore, but for you, it's in your face every day.
Having to constantly deal with that can be exhausting, says Zahir Jan Mohammed, who is a policy director at the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. He also co-hosts a podcast on race and food called Racist Sandwich, where the issue of Portland whiteness is a frequent theme. Jan Mohammed says the lack of diversity can be isolating for people of color.
I know people who leave. It's heartbreaking because there's so many great things about the city. and yet people don't feel comfortable here, so they leave.
Jan Mohammed himself plans to leave Portland this year. For NPR News, I'm Molly Solomon in Portland.